What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Polk, and today we're going to talk about the Minnesota Twins. Yeah, Joe Ryan leads it off, and I think that Joe Ryan is once again undervalued. I think that Joe Ryan is really good at what he does, which is throws four seamers for a long time throughout the entire season, right? He is a workhorse. Yes, he did have that scare a bit in 2024. He's fine. He just pitched another full season, but the home runs, Nick. The home runs were really bad in just 1 year, and three of the last 4 years have been great. The strikeout rates have always been great. He just needs to be a little bit better with his secondaries, and all of a sudden he's not just like an SP 1.5 or 2, but Joe Ryan all of a sudden is like an actual stud. But otherwise, I mean, he's just been great, and I don't quite understand why we want to turn away from a guy who traditionally has a whip that's excellent, and ERA that is around the 3.5 range, and I don't know, like 195 strikeouts two in the last 3 years. It's pretty straightforward to me. Like, he's one of the safer guys you can get when you don't have that absurdly elite starter. Like, yeah, just get Joe Ryan, and I think once again you can get him like 7th-8th round or something like that. Oh, I want that every single time. Pablo Lopez is another one that feels pretty safe. I don't think he has the same ceiling, or at least like he's not as safe as Joe Ryan. Doesn't quite, it's not as quite straightforward as it is with Joe Ryan, where Pablo Lopez maybe throws too many strikes with his four seamer. I don't think he, I think he gives in a little bit too much. He should be throwing a little bit higher with that four seamer, which then would make that pitch look more interesting, or at least harder to decipher versus the sinker. Maybe a little bit more of that separation instead of batters just looking in the one spot of kind of middle and middle in. And doing that will also, I think, make the sweeper a little bit more effective and just really tie in the whole package a bit better. That's at least for right-handers. Against left-handers, his changeup was all of a sudden worse. Pablo Lopez, my gosh, throwing a 58% strike changeup with a low swinging strike rate to lefties is just so strange. And when you look at the whole thing, he had a 23% strikeout rate last year, and that's with about a 20% or lower put away rate on all of his pitches. Lefties, righties didn't matter. That seems wrong, right? Oddly inefficient for a guy that, yeah, has gone over 25% strikeout rates routinely. So I say, okay, put away rates should get better. The whiffs against changeups should improve. And I think there's a little bit of a tweak to be made with this four seamer. There is that injury concern, given that Lopez ended the season on the IL. It was a mild forearm strain. I texted him about it. He said that he would have been pitching back with the team within a week or two. It just, there was no more season left. And all the reports are that he's totally fine, regular offseason, and fully ready to go for the spring. So, given that we'll probably see him throw that one inning normal pace of everyone else, yeah, then it'll be two, then be three, and everything should be fine. I like having Pablo Lopez on my team as my SP3. That'd be great if I had him as my SP3. I don't think you need to go and get him as your SP2. There's a lot of those guys between my SP11 and 10 that are going to go around the same-ish time in the 6th, 7th, 8th rounds that I wouldn't be jumping for Lopez, and I'd be getting Lopez in like the 8th or 9th or something. We'll see how it all shapes up over time. But yeah, Ryan and Lopez both, I think, are really good guys to consider. And honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but maybe Bailey Ober too. And I'm not saying I'm circling Bailey Ober as a guy I need to go for. All I'm saying is, even in my 12 teamers, last round Bailey Ober sounds awesome. Because if you look at it, Bailey Ober this time last year, we were all high on. When Eno put out his rankings, he was down on Ober. He still had him in his 50s. Like, he's saying he should still be viable in your 12 teamer. And then you remember, oh, right, he had this hip injury. He was playing through it a bit. He came back. He couldn't quite do it. Yeah, that makes sense to me that Bailey Ober should be better. And also, home runs are noisy. He had, what was it, 1.85 homer per nine last year? Sure. He threw some bad sliders to lefties, five of them that were hit for home runs when he normally doesn't allow home runs off of them. By the way, four of those came in two games. And he just didn't have a slider feel that day. They were down the middle. Okay. The way I see it with Bailey Ober is, we will know after that first start if he's back or not. And what does back mean? Well, It means that he's not sitting 90 anymore. He's sitting 91, 92 in the four-seamer. He's also locating that four-seamer upstairs. And that was what made him so special before. Bailey Oberizzi, as I would call him, he was a 75-80% high location four-seamer to both the lefties and righties, and that has fallen to 58%. That's a 20% drop of high four-seamers, which just does not sit right with me when it's not a good four-seamer. Its extension is really good, but its movement is not. Its steepness is not, right? Like, it's a easy to hit four-seamer, so you have to locate it like George Kirby's or something like that. And he wasn't all of a sudden. So that's issue number one. And number two is really just not having so many hittable mistakes with the slider or the sweeper or the changeup. I think there are these times when Bailey Ober tries to be just a little bit too perfect with it and it just wasn't feeling right. And I would love to see a good strike zone plot. Just give me that changeup down and away, that's arm side, to lefties. And also throwing it earlier in counts and not just saving it against right-handers. And then having the slider actually be away properly and down. I would love to see all of that from Bailey Ober, but who knows? The good news is that it is opening weekend. He is in an SP4 or 5 in all likelihood, which would mean that you can make your decision on holding Bailey Ober or not far faster than you would an SP5 on another team, which might be even a case where they don't go the first turn of the rotation. So then you're waiting the first like 2 weeks to see if you're going to hold on to a guy. No. You'd be able to just drop Bailey Ober Sunday night if it's not good. That is very appealing to me too. So Bailey Ober is actually someone that I'd be interested in. And let's talk about the guys who could be the SP4 or 5 for the Twins, because they have, I want to say it's a 3-person battle. Technically it could be a 4, even a 5. But I don't think that David Festa is healthy as he has mild TOS, and we'll talk about him later. So let's talk about the options. And the most popular one is Zebby Matthews. Now, Zebby is fascinating to me because on paper, he's got 96, 97 mile per hour velocity, a 92 mile per hour cutter, a 22% swing strike rate slider. He has low walk rates. I mean, this guy looks ready for a breakout. The thing is, he throws too many pitches in the zone. What, Nick? Come on. No, really. His four-seamer gets destroyed. Over 55% ICR to both righties and lefties. And he throws it just like in the zone 61% of the time. It's like middle height, middle up. He doesn't go up and out of the zone. And what's going on here is that the cutter, that I think is a really fantastic pitch, he throws only 11% of the time against right-handers. You gotta throw that more. What I think is really going on though is that the four-seamer is in this location that it's not too much of an adjustment to hit the other stuff. So for example, his sinker also has like a 60% strike pitch. The ideal sinker to me is like 50%, if not underneath. You have Zach Wheeler's, which is like a 48%, 46, because the thing goes inside a ton. And it goes inside or off the plate. And I think guys are just comfortable batting against Zebby Matthews. He also saves his slider too much. It is, yes, a great swing strike rate pitch, but it's because he throws it about 50% of the time in 2-strike counts. He doesn't throw it when he's behind. And if it's not a first pitch strike or he gets to like a 2-0-2-1 count, it's going to be a fastball. And these guys know where it's going to go. Oh, by the way, it's not good movement. It is kind of dead zone-y. And that's also the thing. Everything is average with Zebby's four-seamer, save for, like, it's slightly above average. Like, it's 96, right? It's a 1.2 height-adjusted VA, not like a 1. It's like 6.7 extension, not 6.5. It's nothing to me speaks, oh man, this is an absurd fastball, and you're seeing that with the results. So there are tweaks to be made that can work here. It's the cutter, I think, is getting too much of the plate to lefties as well, needs to go inside more and needs to be featured more against right-handers. The four-seamer needs to just not be so hittable and so often in the zone. Actually try to go up and out of the zone and see how that goes. The slider should be utilized more often than just in 2-strike counts. It's a lot of tweaking, I think, because right now it's just someone who's throwing in the zone for strikes and doesn't do anything else, and he's getting burned by that. So does he actually have good command? I don't know. I want to say that, yes, the slider did get better against lefties in that he did get it lower and out of the zone more so this past year, but still had some of those really bad mistakes over the plate, as Bailey Ober did as well. It's a whole package of Zevi being a hipster. And I hate headache-inducing pitcher stifling the entire roster. I think it's one of the things that you should try as hard as you can to avoid in drafts. You can kind of get stuck with this guy that you feel like you can't drop because he could be on the verge of a breakout, but you don't really know. And you just want to avoid the feeling of dropping him. Someone else picks him up and he goes and has a breakout season. Just don't draft him then. Just go with something else. That's my suggestion to you. We have other guys. And actually, there is someone else. I know this sounds wild, but I think there's another pitcher that might get that early rotation spot and is more interesting to me than Zebby Matthews. I'll tell you who that is after this break. Sounds nuts because I have been so off of this train, okay? But the pitcher that I am kind of more interested in is Simeon Woods Richardson. I know. Let me tell you what happened, though. Simeon Woods Richardson has been a guy that is experimenting a lot and has these flashes where he either has 7 feet of extension, and it's really going to be 6.5 or so. Am I going to throw 94, 95 today? Yeah, it's going to be 92, 93 on average, but today, maybe, yeah. He's also done the Blake Snell blueprint a lot, and what we saw at the end of the year was out of nowhere. We saw Simeon Woods Richardson favor splitters to left-handers. He started throwing it 27%, 30% of the time to left-handers starting in August, just like that. And there were these nights where, yeah, the splitter gets a ton of whiffs. He had 20 strikeouts across two of his final three games combined. It was 11 strikeouts and 9 strikeouts, and that was the Yankees and the Phillies. And he did this by going Blake Snell blueprint, four seamers up, which I have better vert than expected at his kind of average arm angle. A slider that he can pinpoint at times down and glove side, and then a splitter to lefties. That is actually really good. And the fact that Simeon Woods Richardson is clearly experimenting and seeing what works, it makes me more encouraged than others that this actually is a pitcher who can grow and be reliable. I'm not saying that it's real. I would love for him to stay at 94. I would love to see that splitter working and the slider working and all of that and having command at X, Y, and Z. But it does seem like a pitcher who you will be able to make a decision on earlier. And I'm very curious. I mean, in AL-only leagues, this is a legitimate sleeper because he could just take the job and run. Like, if he has a successful early in the season, they're not going to displace him in that rotation. Because really, let's just be honest, like, it's Pablo, Joe, Ryan, and Bailey Ober. They're hoping to have a secure number four in there. And Simeon Woods Richardson just could be that. In all likelihood, it's those two, Zebby and Simeon Woods Richardson. However, Taj Bradley exists, and I think I wrote the most negative blurb for him. I started it by saying, nope, I refuse. Bradley is the king of Williamsburg. That is the hipster city, right? He will have those days when the cutter works and the splitter is down and he can locate a curveball for a strike. But most days, it's just fastballs wherever, cutters wherever, probably not having the splitter. It's absolutely maddening, and I just don't want to touch it. You know, if you are searching for strikeouts and just desperately need it on a given night, okay, sure. Like, that's how I see it. Hipsters are guys that you don't want to keep around, but maybe, you know, you can have a fun night with them, right? There's nothing innately bad about it. So, yeah, that's Taj Bradley. Just don't get suckered in. I really don't think that we're going to see all of a sudden a good command Taj Bradley, right? It just does not make sense to me. And, I have to see something dramatically different from him to believe otherwise. The other guy that I, you know, hinted at before was David Festa. He has a lot of injury concerns, right? Because mild TOS as he ended his last season. But let's just say he's okay. Let's just say, like, he's going to be fine, not really hit the IL and everything. There are times that David Festa can execute the Imperial Shuttle, as Alex Fast would like to say, the triangle of four seamers up, sliders down and glove side, and changeups down and arm side. And he has this cut four-seamer but it's with 7+ feet of extension, and that four seamer has 94 mile per hour velocity, and then two whiffable secondaries. So can he actually execute it? Well, the slider to right-handers from what we've seen has been rough. He just does not locate that consistently down in glove side. It's very much just like over the plate. And I don't think he's throwing his four-seamer correctly. If you have cut action, you generally want to throw up and away to right-handers, as you want the ball leading off of the barrel towards the end of the bat there. And then to left-handers, you want to essentially lean the same way. And he's doing the reverse a bit. He's throwing his four-seamer up and away to left-handers, which is not good. It's coming back over. And then to right-handers, it just kind of is generally up. And maybe that's okay, but I'm not such a believer in that. And then the changeup isn't as consistent as we want it to be to lefties. It's just not a complete package yet, right? It's not all polished to the way that it should be. However, I can see how this works. And if Festa, you know, maybe this pinched nerve essentially was bothering him so much that it affected this command, okay, maybe that's actually a thing. I really hope to see that four-seamer go inside to lefties and be able to jam them properly. And yeah, I'll believe it when I see it with David Festa, but until then, I'm not going to get excited about him. And then there is Mick Abel. And Mick Abel, I am a believer in him. I feel like there is still more to be done. However, I love seeing guys who can command 96 mile per hour four seamers upstairs at will. And that's what Mick Abel does. He has a really low 28 degree arm angle, which then creates a good height adjusted VAA for it. And he gets more vert than expected on that four seamer. So that four seamer gets whiffs at 96 plus. Good. Love it, and he's just always hanging out there. Bailey Ober's jealous of where that thing is located. Now, there's also a two-plane, 82 mile per hour, or maybe 83, curveball. And that's fun, and that's his favorite breaker. So you have those two there. That can actually be platoon immune, because the curveball generally works against both lefties and righties, and four-seamers generally work against lefties and righties. The slider feel is not there yet against righties. And hopefully it will be. Hopefully we can get that harder slider than the curve to work against right-handers. The changeup feel to lefties is not quite there. It leaves it up too much. There's a sinker that doesn't get much movement. And I have to mention, I'm surprised the Mick Abel sinker doesn't have more, because it is that 28 degree arm angle, which we generally see gets like 17 inches of horizontal ride. Easy. It's like 15. And I wonder if he's just not gripping the ball correctly to get the seam shifted wake on it. It really has to be this. So you get him with the Edutronic, figuring that out, because I think Mick Abel can command really well. And that would be really huge. There's also a sweeper that Mick Abel introduced in the last four games of the year. Low usage, but that could be something that he takes, that takes a step forward and becomes his main breaker with his curveball against right-handers, and the slider that he doesn't have good feel for gets shelved. Regardless, I think that Mick Abel, when he does arrive, is likely going to be a little bit better than what we've seen, and is one of those pitchers that can consistently go six innings plus. I mean, when you have that four-seamer that you can locate and get strikes with effectively, not like you, Zebby Matthews, and a great two-plane curve at the low 80s mark, that right there is a phenomenal foundation, and he's a command guy. So I think this will get better. The sinker should get more horizontal. I don't know what's going on there. But once he has that too as a weapon, you know, then I think things are going to go well for Mick Abel. So I really like him in the future. I do not suggest stashing guys. That's not how I play. But pay attention to him in season. And remember that number four, number five for the Twins is up in the air. So Simi Woods, Richardson, Taj Bradley, Zebby Matthews, Mick Abel. Those are your top four options. So technically then Abel is your number seven. You want to put Festa as your eight, but if he's hurt, he's not. And Taj Bradley's in that mix. And then also that's assuming perfect health for Ober and Pablo and Joe Ryan. So we could see Mick Abel pretty soon. Now let's talk about the prospects to be aware of. There's Connor Prelip, and he is a legit swatch, right? A southpaw with a tight changeup. He's at 94-95 with good control, a legit slider, 86-87, proper like two plane. It's really good. It works against lefties and righties. He has a solid changeup down and away to right-handers that does the job, and a sinker that does not have movement once again, but he controls it on the inside edge, and that's fine. Now, I would be circling Prelip as a guy that could arrive quickly as well. I'm going to put him as the SP8 behind Abel, but honestly, it could be Prelip before Abel. Because if I'm talking about guys that have the arsenal done, Prelip kind of feels like he's done. Mick Abel, I think, needs to figure out the slider or the sweeper, figure out that sinker a little bit, figure out that changeup a little bit, right? I think he'll get there, but Prelip honestly could just show up pretty soon, and I would definitely be adding him when he does because I feel like this is just a solid starter. You have Andrew Morris. I'm not as intrigued with Andrew Morris. I don't really know what to make of him. He has, and by the way, I should mention, Connor Prelip is 25 in AAA, which means generally a call-up is coming soon. 24 for Andrew Morris in AAA as well. He has he's from the right side. He has low extension at 95, and it's a cut four seam that doesn't really have good movement. But he has a legit 89-90 mile per hour cutter that has a whole lot of sweep to it. So it's like 5-6 inches of horizontal negative, right, going the other way. And he struggles to command a glove side. It's like it's middle, and it's just not over enough. There's a changeup and a sinker there as well for Andrew Morris. And there's a sweeper he is experimenting with. There's a big curveball for lefties that's really more of a show me, and I don't really expect him to throw that for strikes a ton. It's interesting because the four-seamer and the cutter are really like leading the way. Is that a good enough four-seamer 95? Is the cutter being thrown correctly or located well enough? And the thing is, we haven't really seen success from him. 89 strikeouts and 94 innings of AAA is fine, but it's not what we look for as in 12-teamers, really 15-teamers, as like, oh man, this guy's going to be a big impact play. That's all we really care about. And I'm not really seeing it there with Andrew Morris. Kendry Rojas, destroyed through A-ball and A-plus ball, then had 30 strikeouts in four games of 18 innings in AA, so he went straight to AAA there. And he was with the Jays, and he had one game. It's like July 30th, and they got traded in the Varland deal. And it wasn't a good debut. And then he only pitched in St. Paul AAA for the Twins after. And he just has not done well. He's a southpaw with like a cut action sinker four-seamer. It's called a sinker, but it looks like it's a four-seamer to me. Does not have any horizontal. Like, it's not that. Right? Does not have any horizontal toward arm side. Does not have vert. It's really just like a 14 vert, 1-inch four-seamer, right? If you understand that. Like, it's pretty much on the cut line, and then it just doesn't go up. and it's weird because he has success with it. It's probably really deceptive with his slider because Rojas doesn't have varied movement across everything. It's a four-seamer slash sinker, whatever you call it, with a fastball, a changeup, and a slider. And the slider has less drop than you'd want. It's not like a gyro. It actually is positive vert, so it's 6 inches above the zero mark that you want to see with a slider. And what I think is happening is that guys really can't read that this is a four-seamer or a slider out of his hand. And they went to AAA in the Twins. I felt like he had to prove something. I don't know. He wasn't as effective there, and that was that, really. So the way I see it is if Rojas can show up and just be dominant again in AAA, sweet. There's your lefty outside of – he's going to be behind Prelip, but that will be an option later this year. However, we haven't seen it yet. You know, and hopefully the changeup can stay down and away to righties, be a swatch in that way. I mean, he is interesting. I see why the Twins wanted him. I'm just so curious to see, like, is this a good enough fastball and slider, really, though, for the majors? I don't know. There's Marco Raya as well, who pitched in AAA last year. He's 23. He's a right-hander. And Rojas, lefty, 23, also in AAA, but Raya is a stuff big nasty. He has a curveball and a sweeper that are like 80, 84 to 86, and they're both filthy. But then it's a four-seamer and sinker at 93, 94 that are not. So he's throwing these secondaries a ton. He kind of fell off a bit by the end, and then he went to the pen. And it's probably because they acquired Rojas. They had Abel, Festa, and just essentially a lot of guys that need to get innings. So maybe they slowed him down or so and said, you know what, you had a little bit of a rough middle of the year. Let's just slow you down. He doesn't have much outside of those breakers. And like all these strikeouts highlights that I would see is just always on a breaking ball or like a called strike on the fastball. They thought it would be a breaking ball, right? And that does worry me. Seeing prospects that do not have good fastballs from the right side generally doesn't pan out too well. Sometimes you do get these guys that just have such good breaking stuff and they can locate and be deceptive enough with their fastballs and changeup or cutter or something along those lines and get through it. But it does speak more hipster side, that is volatility, if you don't have that foundational fastball. So we'll see how Raya develops. Maybe he can throw harder. Maybe there's something else in here. But pay attention to this because that curveball and sweeper are just both so good that, yeah, he just needs one other thing to really lay the foundation for him. We have three other guys, and the other three, well, there's CJ Culpepper, who honestly doesn't seem like he has electric stuff. It was in AA last year, 24 years old. He's a kitchen sink with like low 90s velocity, and we're not really seeing the results that would make us overlook it. He has 45 strikeouts and 54 frames of AA. He got kind of fortunate with a low ERA, like a high-ish whip. I'm just not really seeing it from the right side in the brief, in the clips I've seen and stuff. I could be wrong about this one, but he's not the guy to get excited about. And there are two guys in A-plus ball who are 20 years old that look like studs in the making, okay? There's Charlie Soto. He's 20 years old. He missed time getting elbow surgery, but it was for bone spurs. And he has the build of a guy that is just throws hard with an amazing slider. Like, he looks sturdy and great. And he throws mid to upper 90s. He has a hard slider and that splitter, too. I know I want, like, a cutter or something else against lefties, so it's not super reliant on that splitter. But, yeah, he looks legit. I just wouldn't expect him this year because he just missed a lot of time. He only threw, I want to say, 13 frames this year after throwing about 70-plus in 2024. But, yeah, there's no way that the Twins are going to push him up unless he's just doing so well that they're like, you know what, let's just throw him into the fire and just save his bullets for the majors. I don't think that's going to happen with all the other options that they probably want to experiment with first. And same kind of thing with Dason Hill, who's this lefty that, like, you just watch one pitch and it's just like this 97 mile per hour fastball blowing past a right hander. It's like, oh boy. Yeah, he's it's fun. He has a full arsenal. It's just really one of those things of like, all right, are we going to push him up super, super quick? I'd be shocked if they made him a major leaguer in 2026 after throwing fewer than 60 innings as a professional baseball player prior. So he needs to also get a little bit better with his control. But I mean, Dason Hill is legit. He's an elite swatch type. And at 20, you're just like, oh my gosh, let's see how we can polish this. But Dason Hill and Charlie Soto, if they happen to come up this year, I mean, yeah, I'm very down. I'm sure I'm going to be talking about them again next year. All right, that is it for this one on the Minnesota Twins. Make sure you subscribe to this. And of course, be on the lookout for everything we're doing with PL Pro. We are putting out our live Draft Assistant 2.0 very shortly with a brand new UI and look and feel. And it's far better. You have the PL cheat sheet with our rankings built inside of it too. It is great. It's good for your auction league, your keeper league, your head-to-head, your roto. Live standings, updates, and everything, PL rankings inside of it, PLV projections inside of it, ADP, all that fun stuff. It's the best draft assistant out there. You should be using it. Get PL Pro to access it. And then we have the PL Pro dashboard coming this year. I can't give you an exact timeline. It's a beta. It's going to be more limited at first as we continue to add all the building blocks we want throughout the season. But it is a fantasy manager where you import your fantasy teams and you get StatCast data and our PLV projections and my insights, that is the SP Roundup, and the daily streamer recommendations, all built in so that you can monitor your teams throughout the season without going through all these different pages and researching. We do the research for you and tell you what it says. So it's going to be such a great tool I'm going to be using constantly throughout this entire year for all my leagues. I can import them differently, and they're all inside of one dashboard, so I can hop between them. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. And be on the lookout for this one as the season begins. So get Peel Pro today, get 15% off with promo code PODCAST. And that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.